We will get to the good news in a minute, but I got to start with the bad news. When someone says we have good news, bad news, I've asked you this before. Some of you weren't here for this, but I think most of you want to hear the bad news first, you know, because odds are it's going to color your opinion about what the good news is. But let's talk about the bad news first, and that is that anxiety is at record levels in the United States. It is a bigger problem than it's ever been in our history, as near as we can tell. There's something like $300 billion in medical care costs and lost productivity that it costs America every year. Anxiety, disorders, anxious, you know, all that goes along with the stress and everything of modern life has led to just record levels of anxiety. Anti-anxiety medications, more than the use of anti-anxiety medications doubled from 1997 to 2004, more than doubled, like it increased significantly. People who study such things, researchers say that the United States is the most stressed out, the most anxious country in the world. That there are other countries that people in the developing world experience about a fifth of the stress that we do in the United States. And you know what's interesting? When people from these countries move to the United States, do you think they keep their laid-back perspective, or what do you think happens to them? They get just as stressed out as everybody else does. There's something about the way we do life, the way our culture is at this time that just leads to this incredible amount of stress, incredible amount of anxiety. It is a very common problem. If you were anxious at some point in this past week, you were not alone. It is a very common and very big issue. And I want to, right at the beginning here, I want to let you know about a book that I have been very thankful for in the course of this series. So let's put a slide up on the screen. This is a book by Max Lucado called Anxious for Nothing. I borrow the title of the book even for the course of this series. This is a book that I discovered. I heard an interview with Max Lucado on the radio, and it just seemed so on the nose as far as like what the need is. It actually wasn't on the radio. It was on a podcast. But listening to an interview with him, and he was describing this latest book that he's written called Anxious for Nothing, and using these truths from Philippians chapter 4 to address a problem that is just out of control in our culture and in our world. And you've experienced it. We've all experienced it. It's an anxious time. People are experiencing anxiety at very deep levels and in very deep and real ways. And so he's talking about kind of the scale of the problem and then addressing Philippians chapter 4 as a great solution to it. So I've relied heavily on this book. There's a lot of stuff that's not in the book that is in the sermon today. But just want to let you know that that's kind of where the idea began. And if you're interested in reading more about this topic, that is a fantastic book that I highly recommend. So there's that point in the horror movie where the person on the other, like the police officer says, we've traced the call, and the call is coming from inside the house. You know that? So when we think about anxiety as a statistical issue and like there's all these issues out there and record levels, we know that the call is coming from inside the house too, right? It's not something just an out there problem. It's an in here problem. That every one of us are affected to one degree or another, some of you more than others, with anxiety. Philip Zimbardo, who I know from my Psychology 101 class that I took, he was the guy that was involved in the Stanford prison experiments, if you've ever studied that. He says this, speaking about the next generation, because that's one area that people are very concerned about. I read some articles in a New York Times article in particular that was a very long article wondering, why are our kids so stressed out? Why are our kids so anxious? Why is this such a major problem? And Philip Zimbardo, looking at the statistics and the studies, he says, the average child today is as stressed out as the average psych ward patient 50 years ago. That there's something about, again, the way life is and the pace of things, and who knows exactly what it is, but we'll talk about that in a moment. What is that just is causing incredible amounts of anxiety, incredible amounts of stress, and probably me just talking about it maybe is stressing some of you out right now. You're feeling a little anxious. You said there was some bad news. Let's talk about the good news. Okay. We'll get there in a minute. More bad news first. Let's talk about, where does that come from? Why are we, like, we're not the only culture in human history to experience stress, but why is it so bad? Why is it at such a high level? Why are so many of you super anxious and super stressed out? Some of you are about to answer out loud. I'll talk about what I think it is here, because I read, reading these articles and reading this great book, Anxious for Nothing, where they talk about this problem and the scale of it and what the issues are. And I'm going to give you like the spiritual answer and what the researchers that aren't so spiritual would say about this. And the problem is it's multidimensional. There's a lot of parts to it. There's change is happening at more of a rapid pace than ever before. In human history. I mean, the technology and the way that culture changes and the way that the technological innovations happen that affect each and every one of our lives. Driverless cars, anyone have anxiety about that? there's all these things happening right now that are causing, it's just an incredible amount of change. We're dealing with change, and change causes anxiety. That's just kind of connected to that. Researchers tell us, too, that we are more disconnected than ever before. That social disconnection is something that's incredibly high, that people are isolated more than they used to be, that they don't spend as much time with people, there's not as much social interaction, people are very disconnected. Even though they seem to be connected through things like social media and stuff like that, it's not meeting these human needs that we have, and there's an incredible amount of disconnection. Also, our expectations are through the roof. About our quality of life, standard of living, about, you walk by the magazine aisle in the grocery store and at the checkout, and they're all telling you about, how inadequate you are compared to what they're promoting in the magazine cover, in the magazine and things like that. Think about the way news travels compared to the way news used to travel 100 years ago or even 50 years ago. So think about 100 years ago, if something happened on the other side of the world, you would hear about it at some point, some devastating earthquake, some volcano, something that happened. You would at some point hear about it. It might take a week for the news to travel far enough for you to hear about it. 50 years ago, it might be in the next day's paper, right? Something happens on the other side of the world. There's phone calls made. It makes it into the evening edition of the paper, perhaps, or the next day's news, and you'll hear about it eventually. Right now, most of you in this room have the ability to pull up all the bad news happening in the world right now, right? You could pull up any information, all the bad news in the world you have access to very quickly. If you don't, if the news sites haven't covered it yet, Twitter's on top of it. They're posting about it on Twitter right now, right? And so all the news that's happening in the world travels quickly, and you experience all of it at once. Or you can. You have the ability to. Some of you do. You want to know what's going on. I like to see what the news topics are that are trending. But yeah, it affects my anxiety levels. You go, man, things are pretty rough right now. And so your perspective on how things are going in the world and how you feel about it is affected by that. Just this rapid amount of news and all the bad news that you can find in this world. Has anyone ever felt anxious by social media? Has that just universally been like a positive thing in your life? The social media has brought all good things and no bad things. I think we can all acknowledge if you're on social media at all, there's some anxiety in your life that's there because of something that didn't exist 20 years ago, right? That's a very real thing. I was thinking about, we're thinking about the next generation and the younger people and considering how they are experiencing the world and the sources of anxiety in their life. In this long New York Times article I mentioned, talked about social media in a number of places. Where it used to be, the social pressures you experienced, you could leave them outside of your house. You dealt with that before school, during school, after school. And now you can be bullied in the comfort of your own home on your smartphone, right? Is that a real positive, change in our culture? I don't think so. Think about the legitimate sources of stress in your daily life. We all have these are things that are kind of new. There's the rapid change. There's how disconnected we are, the expectations that our culture and that we place on ourselves, social media. There's all of these things. And then you just have life. Life has enough anxiety on its own, right? Life just comes with stresses. There's rumors of the layoffs that might be coming. You got contacted by the doctor's office and they want to run another few tests to check for some things. There's the everyday stresses, the financial things. There's worried about people in your life that are important to you that are going through difficult times, and you feel those anxieties as well. What answers do our culture give us? Does our culture have good answers? I'm reading these articles about how big the problem is, and they're describing all of it. And I would say it's a very spiritual problem as well. That God not being kind of welcome in our public conversation and in the way that we talk about things, and even the source of this problem, that I think it's very much a spiritual problem as well, as much as it is a cultural and pace of life problem. Our culture offers a couple of answers. It says to deal with the anxiety at the scale that it is today, you need therapy and you need medication. Those are the two kind of best answers from all these articles that I read, therapy and medication. And to not minimize, I don't want to minimize that. I think all the things that science has discovered are like good gifts from God. There's a lot of these things that are maybe not all the things that science has discovered, but there's a lot of good things that medicine, doctors have brought into our lives. And so I don't mean to just minimize that, but if you're a Christian and you're struggling with anxiety, you're feeling anxious on a major scale, and your only answers are therapy and medication, you're missing something significant that I want to tell you about this morning. Because God is an answer as well. That's not the only, therapy and medication are not the only source of comfort for anxious hearts. God's word has some encouraging news for us today. And again, therapy, just to be very clear on this, I'm not saying go off of your medication or something. That's not the message what I'm saying right now. Or stop seeing the therapist. That's not my point. My point is that you should include, perhaps, maybe God will lead you to do something like that. But I think that God is this source of comfort that we too often put lower on the list of priorities, and it should be at the top for anxious hearts. And we'll get there right now. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles with you, devices with you, that's fine as well. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to jump in just a moment here to the text. You know, worry is not just a modern problem. You know, you can't say, you know, kids, worry was invented in the 1850s. You know, that's not, it's something that's been around. People have dealt with anxiety for all of human history. For as long as we've been alive, there has been, after the fall, anxiety and stresses and worries. And one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture in your Bible were written by somebody in a Roman prison in the year 60 to 62 AD, we think, to a group of Christians at a church in a town called Philippi, largely made up of, you know, retired Roman centurions and their families. And in this town, there was a church. And Paul writes to this church and encourages them in some really important ways that we're going to see here. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be spending in Philippians chapter 4. And I want this to be an encouraging, strengthening series for you. I want it to be a practical series for you. I want this to be the kind of thing that you think back on regularly. We've been encouraging you to memorize the Scripture from the words that are on this board behind me, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We're trying to memorize this as a church because this is an action plan. It's practical. It's helpful. It's encouraging. Let's dive in and take a look right now. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 4 through 9. We're going to spend the majority of our time in these two verses, though, over these next few weeks. So to give you a little bit of context, Paul says this starting in verse 4 of chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Doesn't that feel a little bit like a breath of fresh air, like you're taking a deep breath and you breathe in this truth? And it's encouraging, and it lifts your spirit a little bit. Some of the anxiety just goes away just from reading a passage of Scripture like that. So Amazon keeps track of who highlights things on the Kindle app. You know, if you have the Kindle app on your smartphone, or if you have a Kindle and you highlight something, Amazon knows. You know, they'll tell you, even when you look at a part in a book, how highlighted something is. Do you know what the most highlighted passage of Scripture is on the Bibles that people are reading in their Kindle app? Guess what? It's the one we just read. It's not a trick question. It really is that one. It's the one we just read. How many of you would say this, we just read one of your favorite verses, or like that was your favorite verse? Raise your hand if that's you. Quite a few of you, right? So again, I encourage you to memorize this. This verse, these verses in particular, verses 6 and 7, have a special place in my heart. You know, these were the words that my mother would say to me when I would wake up, "Mom, I had a bad dream." That conversation, you know, every kid has with their parent at some point. And I'd wake her up, "Mom, I had a bad dream," and I'd, you know, be upset about whatever the dream was, and, you know, 6, 7 years old. Actually, 35 years old. I'm just kidding. "Mom, I had a bad dream." I don't do that anymore. But these words were such an encouragement to me, just hearing the words. My mom telling me, like, "Hey, you can think about other things," right? The words about thinking about what's true and what's honorable, and those words lifted my spirit. Don't be anxious about anything. We don't have to be anxious about things. And so those words have a special place in my heart as well, from that memory of being, you know, being taught them when I was a kid, and using those words as almost like a medicine, as a comfort to me when I was experiencing anxiety. I want to look at it together. Let's look at this passage of Scripture, and I love this chalkboard here with the words on it. Isn't that cool? My wife did that. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7, waving at her in the lobby there. Hi, wife. Let's look at this. Do not be anxious. We're going to spend the majority of our time here in this one passage over the next 3 weeks. And we are going to see in this passage, we're going to see an action plan for anxiety. We're going to see a source of hope, a source of encouragement, a something to do the next time you are feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. We're going to see that we need to pray about it, that there's something that we can actually do, this action of prayer, and the power that'll have. That'll be next week's message. And then the battle for our mind, that'll be the week after. But today we look at this phrase by phrase. Do not be anxious about anything. The title of the series comes from another translation of the Bible. It talks about being anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, the fact that Paul could say that to humans, right? Do not be anxious about anything. This is a command. This is the Apostle Paul speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and telling the Christians reading this letter, including us today, to not be anxious about anything. And I don't know about you, but there is a part of me that goes, "Yeah, right." Right? Like, anything? Don't be anxious about anything. And how hollow would it be? How horrible would it be if the advice just stopped there, if the rest of this verse was gone? Just do not be anxious about anything. "Oh, okay, I won't. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it. Got it. Don't be anxious about anything." Now, is it possible to worry less? Is it possible to be less anxious than you are? I think so. Is it possible to not be anxious at all? Again, that's the part where I push back a little bit, right? And where you might feel that too. I think Paul's encouraging us to a life that where we experience a lot less anxiety than you currently do. And I think as we grow, that anxiety should grow less and less as well. As we grow in our relationship with Christ, do not be anxious about anything. Again, how hollow would it be if it stopped right there? He tells us this action plan. I married into a Disney family, and here's what I mean by that. So my wife grew up in Arizona, and they would go to Disneyland regularly for family vacations. Disney was kind of an important part of their life in their family. It was just like the Disney movies and all the, you know, Mickey Mouse was the favorite, and there was this, you know, all the Disney, you know, everything, all the animated movies, like when Little Mermaid came out, big deal, right? That was really cool, and all of those movies have kind of a special place in my wife's family that she grew up in, and so because I married into that, I also married into the Disney, like I'm kind of, it's a part of my life too, and so we would go, you know, we've gone a couple times to Disneyland. It's been a long time since the last time we went, but we still have the moment of silence, you know, every periodically for the Northtown Disney store that closed. You know, may it rest in peace. I'm just kidding. That part I'm joking about. That's not true. But Disney, you know, Disney is fun, right? I'm not here to bash Disney. Disney, again, like I said, it's a part of my wife's life from, you know, childhood on to today. But Disney's not a good place to learn theology. I don't know if you've noticed that, like just the wisdom and the advice that Disney offers sometimes is not like, you know, the best for your view of the world and how things should work. Because this is the advice from like the Lion King, right? Do not be anxious about anything, period. Just all the rest of it. It's not worded that way. It's Hakuna Matata, right? You know this. So there's the whole dance number, right? There's the whole music number. Hakuna Matata, Hakuna Matata, right? It means no worries. And that's really as deep as the advice goes. Right, Simba, you're real discouraged, you're having a hard time about stuff, you know, you're worried about what happened with your dad and your uncle's trying to kill you now, and hey, just don't worry about it. You got this, don't worry. Hakuna Matata. Now, I think there is something to that, but it's not very deep, right? Just don't worry. Okay, I won't anymore, right? That's not very good advice. It's kind of good. It's not really good advice, though. It's like, it might be helpful sometimes. But I think for the most part, it really falls short. Paul goes on to give us incredibly practical advice here. This teaching from God's word that goes deep, but it's super practical as well. Do not be anxious about anything, but you have emotion around whatever it is that's making you feel anxious. So what should you do with that? Oh, man, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Turn those emotions, turn that stress, that anxiety into prayer requests. Tell God about it. If it's big enough to stress about, it's definitely big enough to pray to God about, right? I've talked to some Christians who say, oh, I don't want to, you know, God's got enough going on. I don't want to worry him about my little things. You know, it's like, no, he's got plenty of bandwidth for whatever you might be struggling with. God cares for you. He loves you. He knows already what you're going through. And there's something about turning those anxieties into prayer requests that just is a burden lifted off simply by praying about it. But you're also inviting the sovereign Lord of the universe into your problem. And he's big enough to handle it. He's powerful enough to handle whatever you may be going through. So our action plan over the next few weeks is to, in order to not be anxious about anything, to grow in our comfort and our peace, we're going to learn more about prayer and our view of God, because our view of God is so much a part of this whole conversation. What do we believe about God? What do we know to be true about him? And as we seek him, as we pray to him, as we turn these worries into requests and ask him to help us, man, things change. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've always loved this verse. I said it goes back to my childhood. But when I've thought about this verse over the years, peace of God, which surpasses understanding, that phrase in particular, I've always thought about, like, when I've even taught about it, taught this passage of scripture before in the past, I've thought about it in this terms of you experiencing peace and other people around you going like, man, I know what you're going through, but you seem so calm and at peace, and I don't understand that. Like, I've thought about that being peace that surpasses all understanding, and I think that's probably part of it. But I think it also goes possibly even deeper than that, where it's the kind of peace where you don't even understand it. Not just other people around you going like, man, how can you be so calm dealing with what you're dealing with? How can you be so at peace? It's the peace that passes all understanding, but I think even you, right, you're going through something and you go, I don't even understand. This passes all my comprehension and ability to understand how I could be so at peace right now, but I am, and I'm thankful for that. peace that passes all understanding that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. These words are encouraging to me. I hope they're encouraging to you as well. There's, again, an action plan that we'll begin to unpack over these next 2 weeks. Turn this into prayer. What are you anxious about? Pray about it. The sovereign God of the universe knows what you're going through, and you need to invite him to be a part of it. When Jesus, there's a story in the Gospels of Jesus in the storm, and he's in the boat, and he's sleeping, right? And the storm is going crazier. There's the other time where he's walking across the water, and the disciples are in a storm, and they see him. And Jesus is able to calm the storm. He says, "Peace, be still." Like, I think in the original, it's like, "Hey, knock it off, storm, you know? Calm down. Keep it down in there," like what you say to your kids when they're being rowdy if you have kids, little kids. It's the same. The God who can do that, the God who can control storms, can control whatever you're going through as well, can have input in that, can work in that, can do something. And so we need to invite him into that. We need to understand who God is and his ability to impact whatever it is that we're struggling with. You know, so often, even I've been following Jesus for a long time. I've been a pastor for a while now. And I still sometimes stress about stuff and don't pray about it. It's like, if this is big enough for me to worry about, like, well, have I prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Whatever it is that's causing you anxiety this morning, have you prayed about it? We're going to do that in a few moments. We're going to pray together and ask God to help us with what we're going through. But I want to think about this verse just a little bit more from a different perspective. I mentioned that it was written by the Apostle Paul, and that Paul was in prison. And I want to talk a little bit about some other things that Paul was going through at this moment. Paul's situation was that he was older. He'd been around, the block quite a few times. He'd been serving God for many years, and he'd gone through some difficult situations on behalf, in service of Christ. He lists those situations out in 2 Corinthians. He talks about all the troubles that he'd been through and the beatings that he'd been through, the time people tried to kill him, tried to execute him by throwing rocks at him, right? I said that instead of saying he was stoned, because there's other connotations to that, right? They tried to kill him by throwing big rocks at him, right? They thought they killed him. They walked away, thought he was dead, and he got up and carried on. He had some medical problem or some problem that he describes as his thorn in the flesh. He was someone that had been through a significant amount of pain and a significant amount of just physical problems. Like, he'd been shipwrecked before, he'd survived, he'd spent nights shipwrecked in the ocean. And he's just, age is taking its toll. He's getting older. When he writes these words, he had been on these mission journeys. He was towards the end of his life. He would die by execution at some point, not long after he wrote these words. And Paul would be entitled. The other issues that he was going through was he was dealing with conflict. He writes about that in some of these other letters that he writes. And even in this one, he's trying to put out some fires. There's problems in the churches, and he loves these people, and he started these churches, but they're full of people, and they're not getting along, and there's problems that are happening. And there's people that are even trying to hurt him and his ministry, and they're trying to undermine what Paul is doing. And he writes about that even in Philippians. And there's all of these issues that he's dealing with, let alone the fact that he is in prison and he is not sure if he's ever going to make it out. Paul would be entitled to write like a venting letter to the church at Philippi, wouldn't he? Like, he's written so many encouraging ones. Let this one be real discouraging, right? Like, let him get it all off his chest and write that letter about how discouraged he is and about all the trouble he's going through. No, Philippians is one of the most encouraging books in the Bible. It talks about joy and rejoicing in the Lord. In the middle of these circumstances, he is able to have such incredible peace and incredible hope. And I think it's possible, if that's possible for Paul, it's possible for us to face whatever you may be going through with more joy and to be less anxious, to have more of this kind of peace. Paul talks about knowing the secret. He's learned the secret to being content in whatever situation. He knows how to have a lot. He knows how to have a very little, that he can face all of these things. He can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. So many encouraging words that Paul speaks in the course of this letter. And these are incredibly encouraging ones. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I think about something guarding something or somebody, like the peace of God, like a guard guarding my heart and my mind, for one, that very much appeals to me. But the other thing that I think about is that Paul, no doubt, had a guard nearby where he was, right? He was in prison. He's seeing a guard, maybe even chained to him. And I love the idea of flipping that concept on its head. Like, he's not being guarded so he doesn't escape. He's thinking of this guard that's chained to him or right outside the door, just like the peace of God guarding my heart and my mind and guarding the hearts and minds of those who will read this letter someday. What an encouraging thought. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, I want to encourage you to be here for the next two Sundays. Continue coming. It's important that we talk more about this action plan. What is this idea of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving? That's really important. That's next Sunday's message is going to be all about that and all about viewing God as the sovereign Lord who knows exactly what we're going through. And then the following Sunday will be the verse that's not on this board, but the idea of filling our hearts and our minds with truth and replacing those anxious thoughts with true things and excellent things and things that are worthy of praise and things that we should be thinking about in the peace of God. Paul writes this encouraging letter from prison. And I love that word, encourage. You know, it's made of, in that word is the word courage. It's like to give someone courage. To encourage someone is to take someone that's struggling and give them some courage, right? To give them the ability to face whatever they are facing with God's help. And I hope that this morning we are doing that. I hope that you are encouraged this morning as we are wrapping up here. And I'd like to pray right now. I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. So would you please join me as we pray? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And listen, I want to ask you to whatever it is that you are anxious about. And some of you had something immediately jump into your mind. I want you to think about that for a moment. And in these next few moments, I want to encourage you to turn that into a prayer. I want you to ask God to help in a specific way. Whatever it is you're stressed about, whatever it is you're concerned about, ask God to intervene in some way. What is your request? Scripture tells us to let our request, make our request to God. Let our request be known. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to leave just a few moments of silence for you to do that, for you to make your request known to God. Father in heaven, we thank you for these words of truth. We thank you for, Lord, this incredibly encouraging passage of Scripture. And I thank you for each person that's in this room, Lord. And I know that the anxieties that we carry are varied in this room. There are people struggling with many different things. Stressed about different things, social pressures or financial issues or just job concerns or relational strife or even guilt. Lord, whatever it may be in this room, I pray that we would turn those anxieties into a prayer to you. I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would use moments like this to give us that encouragement to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, build up our hearts, build up our strength in this moment. Lord, I pray for anyone in this room who has yet to receive you. Lord, if they've never put their faith in you, I pray that today would be the day that in a moment when we have this kind of moment to pray and make a prayer request towards you, I pray that that would be the moment that they would turn towards you and say that they need you in their life. The thing about this peace, Lord, it is so connected to knowing you. It's something that is a gift from you. It's not something that we can generate on our own. It's a gift of God. It's the peace of God and the peace of Christ that you offer us. Lord, we can follow you by putting our faith in you, and I pray that you would help anyone in this room who has yet to do that. I pray that today would be the day. Help them to put their faith in you this morning and to begin to follow you. Forgive them of their sins. Help them to receive the gift of salvation. Lord, as we have this moment of prayer and moment of just considering whatever it is that's causing us anxiety, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know that you are the God who hears us. You are the God who cares. You are the God who hears us when we call. Lord, and I pray that we would look to you as the source of all comfort, and that we would experience a little bit of that peace that you offer even in this moment. So Lord, please bless us now as we seek you. So now just wherever you are in the room, just take a moment, just have a moment between you and God of putting some words silently where you're at in prayer towards that anxiety. Whatever it is that you're anxious about, let your requests be made known to God. Turn that anxiety into a prayer and try to be specific. Try to ask God in a specific way to meet you where the moment of that need is. And let's do that. I'm just going to leave it silent here in the room for a few moments while you pray. Lord, it's an incredible promise from your word that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that that would be the case right now for people in this room. I pray that your peace would guard their thought process, would guard their emotional inner life, whatever it is that they're experiencing or struggling with. I pray for less anxious hearts. I pray that you would use the truth from your word, apply it to our hearts the way we so deeply need it to be applied. Lord, we need your truth. We need your hope. We need the peace that only you offer. So, Lord, please fill our hearts with the peace. Fill our minds with that peace. Lord, thank you for this action plan from Philippians chapter 4 about seeking you in prayer. And I pray that you would guard our hearts and our minds. I pray that you would help us to think these true things and noble things and good things. And, Lord, fill our minds with truths about you. Fill our hearts with truths from your word that we might know you more. And that you might grow us and encourage us and strengthen us. You are the God of all comfort. You are kind. You are good. And we are thankful that we can be your people. Once again, Lord, if there are any in this room who have yet to receive you, I pray that you would bring them into your family soon, Lord. Bring them in, whether that's today, whether that's them being courageous enough to come up and talk to me after the service, or whatever it might be, Lord. Please welcome people into your family today. We thank you that we can be your children. That we don't need to be anxious about anything, that we can put our requests into prayers and offer them to you and know that you hear us and that you are good and that you want to help. So we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.